everybody. Welcome to pre-service chat. So good to have you with us. Kim, this is a special one.
Yeah. Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter, everybody. We made it. Yeah. It's good to have you with us, but actually, I don't think I'm supposed to be in this chair.
You know what? I think it's time to hear Lindsay Anderson's voice in one of these pre-service chats. How about we do a little swap-a-roo, and I'll ask you the questions this time.
All right, let's try it.
Okay.
Okay. You and your little chicken.
Don't trip.
Guy. All right, yeah.
This chair is actually more comfortable, I think.
Oh, is it?
No. They're the same. But yes, okay. Interviewer hat now.
Yeah,
it's
there you
me.
Go.
Lindsay, so nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
So we have had a number of conversations on pre-service chat about Lent, as we've journeyed through the season of Lent, and now as we've headed into Easter, we were looking at Holy Week.
Right.
But how about, I would love to just hear your experience through this season. Give us some of your reflections on Lent and now Holy Week as we head towards this day.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Lent has been interesting. As I shared my sermon, it was one of those concepts that I was like, no, didn't need. This year, yeah, I've been leaning in more towards it. I think I've mentioned that Carla and I picked up the book that you'd recommend.
Yeah, Unvarnished Jesus.
Unvarnished Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have fallen into a really good rhythm on
that,
which has been really great, just reading it and discussing it. And that's been a really good thing. And now, as we've kind of come into Holy Week, there's just these little capsules, these little moments of experience where I just wonder, what would that have been like?
Right.
You know, like, what would it have been like to have been seated at the table with Jesus?
Hmm.
Right? Like, a pretty important meal.
Yeah.
Like, there was the big celebration. And
yeah.
I'm sure the disciples didn't fully understand. And there's this real sense of community and closeness. And then all of a sudden he says, and you know, one of you is going to betray me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, what would that? And then I sort of roll the clock forward a little bit and think about Jesus. He's gone through his trial. He's been convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is carrying that cross.
Yeah.
And there's all these onlookers. And we often hear in Scripture this concept of, and people were murmuring. And they were talking. And I wonder how many of these people who would have seen some of the impact, the miracles, the way Jesus treated marginalized people. And now all of a sudden they're seeing this man be taken off to be killed. I don't know what your mind's like, Kim, but I sit here and I just wonder, what might that have been like?
Well, and just the shift, like talking about the people's perspective, people who maybe have seen Jesus and just a few days before are shouting like, Hosanna, like this is a king coming. He's going to save us.
Yeah.
And then to turn around and be like, oh, I think this is a criminal now.
Yeah.
And he's going to die a criminal's death.
Yeah.
Like what a shift and what a,
He's on the cross. He's got these two criminals beside him. And as you just said, some are considering, and he says, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just find some of these words a really great thing just to sort of let soak in and reflect. Yeah, but just been learning some very interesting things. I was telling you just before we, you know, flip the camera on. One of the things I discovered this week was that there, within about a 100-year period up to the mid-first century, there were about a dozen messianic groups.
Okay.
Kind of like Jesus and his group.
Right, so like people proclaiming to be the Messiah.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. Just kind of popping up and spurring up and creating a bit of chaos and confusion and
edgy.
Right? All of that kind of thing. But all of them just died off. Literally, some of them died. Some of them were killed. But they just sort of went away. But not the story of Jesus. Now, the reality was they were pretty freaked out.
Right.
Right? Like
right
sudden,
after he dies,
Their guy is getting convicted. He's going across. He's going to die. Freaked out to the point where it says in the story that on the first day of the week, they were gathered together in this home, and they had all the doors locked.
Yeah. They were afraid they were next.
Exactly
I'm sure.
And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up.
Yeah. Good thing he doesn't need to walk in the door.
It's a crazy thing. And so these people who, you know, all of a sudden were afraid and fearful and were hiding and concerned about their own life, which would make sense.
Yeah.
Just within a few weeks, like we talk about Lent being 40 days coming up to Easter, Jesus spent another 40 days after his resurrection.
Yeah.
And he hung out with the disciples. He talked. It was just a fascinating experience.
Yeah.
And things just radically changed to the point. Steve mentioned this in his series on Do It Again. And it was talking about Peter and John. And right at the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, as the religious people were all upset at Peter and John, they said, you know, these men were courageous.
Mm.
And there was something, you know, abnormal about them. They were normal, ordinary people, but there was this courage about them. And it said, why? Because they'd been with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Kim, I've been thinking about this, and you and I have been talking a little bit. We've had this good experience. You know, you've put together prayer nights. We've had this Maundy Thursday with, going through the Stations of the Cross and some pictures of Jesus. And we had this good run-up to Easter, but then all of a sudden Easter hits, and we, woohoo!
Exactly.
But
yeah,
maybe there should be something.
Yeah, so what comes next? Because you're right, we've had these 40 days now of really journeying and being intentional about taking in kind of Jesus's journey to the cross. And then it all culminates on this big Easter Sunday, which we celebrate.
Awesome.
And so often, you're right, all of a sudden we just drop off and we're like, well, I just guess I'll go back to what I was doing before. What do you think we can do to kind of cultivate new rhythms as we head out of this Easter season?
Well, I can't offer you a book like you did, but maybe I could offer a different kind of book.
Yeah.
It dawned on me, you know, we've been talking about this idea of do it again, right? Mm. Like, God, you've done revivals in the past, do it again. You know, I referenced recently in my sermon, if then, why not now?
Yeah.
Which is a reference back to what God did in the early church.
Mm-hmm.
And I just encourage you folks, if you have found anything unique, and I if you've been seeking Jesus, I believe you will have, I would encourage you to not just leave this sort of Lent experience behind, but continue to discover maybe some things that you can set aside and replace with some experience, some pursuit, some renewed desire, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if you like, of Christ. And I would encourage you to grab the book of Acts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just take the book of Acts, like, and read it. And some of you might be able to just, like, read big chunks of it, and maybe you flip through it two or three times during that 40 days. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're more those who enjoy a slower pace.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a chapter at a time or half. I don't know what it is. But, man, I just encourage you to read and consider and see what this emerging church was all about.
Yeah.
How God worked.
Totally.
How people followed.
Yeah. Well, it's been cool because I've been kind of through Lent, and then specifically as we've been coming up to Easter, I've been reading through the Gospels and then really wanted to tie it up with ending with obviously the Easter kind of story there this week. So that would be a great way to kind of continue, finish off those Gospels, and then just launch right into Acts, because so often I think we see them as so separate, and yet they were so actually quite overlapped of like, Jesus was here 40 days. He was appearing to people and teaching and then he ascends. And then, that kind of really sets off this early church and things get wild.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been trying to follow, trying to figure out, God, what does this next season look like?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like it would be a wonderful prize. So I encourage you that, hey, you could fast.
Yeah.
You could seek God in that way, set some time aside. And
there's
just so many different things you could do. And so I just encourage you to continue to lean into that. What could this rhythm look like as we come out of Easter, the resurrected Savior?
Yeah, that's great. And I would just add, too, take time to reflect, kind of like what you've been doing. Reflect back on the season of Lent. What was God teaching you? What kind of stuck out to you? And what is he calling you to next?
Yeah.
Maybe it is a similar or a different routine that you need to kind of make something normal in your rhythm in life. So, awesome. Lots of good thoughts.
Cool.
Well, good to have you here on Pre-Service Chat, Lindsay.
It's a little different on this side of the studio, I gotta say.
Awesome. Well, we hope you guys have a great Easter weekend. Have a good one, and we'll see you next time. Shyla, we're supposed to be filming announcements. What are you doing?
Oh, I was registering for Serve the City.
Oh, well, that's perfect. Can you finish that up for a second? And then we'll get right into it.
Okay. Mine's all sent in now.
Okay, perfect. Well, now that you've registered, you guys should also go to our website and register for Serve the City. Tell us about what's happening this year with it.
So this year we are serving the Women's Transition House. So if you are 19 years or older, sign up for that.
Yeah.
We're also serving the Compassionate Resource Warehouse as well as CRD and Saanich Parks this year.
Nice. Rain or shine, we're going to be out serving our city. So head to our website for all of the information. Start times.
Yeah, so start times will be emailed to you when you register because they differ a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you go to our website and you scroll down just a little bit on the homepage, there's a big blue button that says Serve the City. That will take you to the link that you need.
Perfect. And then after we've all served Saturday morning, we're gonna join up back here at our Wilkinson Road campus for a nice little barbecue.
Yeah, we're gonna kick it old school and have a barbecue.
Yeah. So we'd love to see you there. Come join us April 30th, which is a Saturday, for Serve the City.
Thank you. to the cross like love could be broken. And our Savior breathed in his last like hell had a moment. They laid him down in a grave like hope could be stolen. Covered him up with a stone like it could hold him. Oh, Jesus is risen, he is alive. Look in the tomb, there's hope we can find. The curse has been lifted, we are forgiven. He is alive, Jesus is risen. Down the door of death, our God is victorious, breaking every stronghold of sin. By his blood he restores us, triumphing with life in his hands. He did it all for us. The lion and lamb over. Our Savior is glorious. Jesus is risen, he is alive. Look in the tomb, there is hope we can find. The curse has been lifted, we are forgiven. He is alive. Jesus is risen, he is alive. Look in the tomb, there's hope we can find. The curse has been lifted, we are forgiven. He is alive, Jesus is risen. Jesus is risen.
Easter. Welcome to Saanich Baptist Church. Hope you've been having just a great Easter weekend. If you're able to, we'll invite you to stand with us as we continue to worship, beginning with our land acknowledgement and call to worship. So as we begin today, we want to acknowledge with gratitude that we are leading worship on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen peoples. Hold your head high. Christ is risen. Death has been conquered. Christ has restored us to new life. All that is broken has been made whole. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? From a triumphant Palm Sunday to a dark Friday, passing through sorrow, through death, to life and joy, we arrive at Easter. By the power of God, the cross could not defeat Christ. The tomb could not hold him. Hold your head high. Christ is risen. Praise be to God, who continues to rescue us from the power of darkness, who redeems us and sets us free. Amen. Now let's continue to worship.
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. Darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse is blood atoned. Final breath and it was finished, not the end we could have. The earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared? All hail, King Jesus. All hail the Savior.
now revealed in you, oh Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Sing it out. Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the voice of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life.
God, we thank you for the truth of everything that we just sang, Lord. We declare just the glory and the power of your name. We thank you just for this time this weekend and everything that it means to us in our faith. God, help us not to forget or take lightly the sacrifice that you made, everything that you gave for us, God. Help us to remember that it was your love for us. It is your love for us that motivated you. Yeah, God, above all else, help us to hold on to that truth, that you love us. You are good. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take a seat. And kids, I believe you are dismissed. You can see Shyla at the back there waving her hand. You can go meet up with her.
Our Bible reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. In the context, what we find here is that Jesus has been raised, he's alive, and he's now starting to interact with others. And as you can imagine, there's a bit of confusion because of what has just taken place. We pick it up in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here or there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord is risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter, whether you're online or here in the auditorium. We are just glad that you're with us today as we celebrate Easter. It's Sunday, mid-afternoon. Two followers of Jesus were walking home from Jerusalem to their home village of Emmaus. One was named Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other person. Most likely these two were a married couple. How do I know that? Because later in the story that Lindsay just read for us, they invite Jesus into their home. So for our sake today, we're going to think this couple is Cleopas and his wife. Let's pick up the story in verse 13. Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They had come to Jerusalem and now were walking back the 10 kilometers to their village of Emmaus. As they headed home, they were feeling both hopeless and heartbroken. They were haunted by the events of the past few days. Their hopes and their dreams were smashed. They came to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover, believing it was the time for the kingdom to be ushered in. They had come to Jerusalem for regime change. It was time to replace Herod. It was time to send the Romans packing. It was time for Jesus, the Messiah, to restore Israel to a place of greatness. But things had gone horribly wrong. Jesus was betrayed. He was arrested at night. He was placed on trial and condemned to death. And then he was crucified on a cross. And by Friday night, Jesus, the one they thought was the hope of Israel, was dead. And now it's Sunday. Oh, there had been rumors about angels and an empty tomb, but the rumors didn't matter. They had trusted that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed he was sent from God, but their hopes were shattered. The Romans had killed him. And so now, with soul-crushing disappointment, they wander back to Emmaus. As they walked, they talked to each other about everything that had happened, and suddenly a stranger joined them. It was, in fact, Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. Why they didn't recognize him, we don't know, but they simply didn't recognize him. Jesus asked them what they were talking about, and Cleopas replied, I like this reply, verse 18, are you the only one? Like, seriously, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? The two were stunned that the stranger seemed to be the only person who had not heard about the events that had taken place. And I love how Jesus replied. I can imagine him being totally poker-faced as he says, what things? And Cleopas continues on about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Cleopas explained to the stranger what had happened. They told him that they had hoped that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah and how they'd hoped that he would be the one who would overthrow the Roman government and restore Israel to a place of greatness. But their movement had failed. The rulers had crucified him 3 days ago, and now his body has gone, and they don't know what to make of it. Their hope had been turned into hopelessness. And notice they called Jesus a prophet. They no longer called him the Messiah. Jesus was dead, so he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. He just must have been a prophet like all the other prophets. Their faith, their hope were in pieces. And in that moment of confusion and heartbreak, Jesus gave them a Bible lesson. Look at verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus took them on a journey through the Old Testament, and he proceeded to explain the Old Testament stories from Moses to the prophets and how they all pointed to him. That all that had happened with Jesus had already been predicted and was written down and was now being fulfilled. Jesus wanted them to know that although things looked hopeless, although they were dealing with doubt, all they had to do was look to the scriptures to understand what had happened and what will happen. The Bible gives us the big picture. It reveals the purposes of God on a grand scale. It tells us a story that encompasses all other stories. And only in this context does the cross and the resurrection make any sense. As they approached the village and prepared to part company, the couple invited the stranger to come in and stay with them. And at dinner, something amazing happened. Look at verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They gathered around the table for a meal, and the stranger took some bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he offered it to the couple. And in that moment, Cleopas and his wife recognized Jesus. I mean, they must have snorted their wine all over the table. And then Jesus vanished. And after he vanished, I kind of like this little bit of the story. After he vanished, they tell each other they suspected it was him all along. I mean, look at verse 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" In other words, I knew it was him. I had a burning in my heart. Well, so did I. And after they realized who was with them, who had given them the broken bread, their disappointment and despair was replaced with hope and joy. Look at verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. When they realized Jesus was alive, they rushed the 10K back to Jerusalem and told the disciples what had happened. And when they got there, they heard the other followers of Jesus saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen." And if those early followers were here with us today, they would say the same thing. It is true, the Lord has risen. It really happened. It's not a vague hope or a metaphor. It is true. The Lord has risen. That is the central proclamation of the greatest victory in all of human history. And it changes everything. The Lord is risen. That means what Jesus said is true, that there is good news for the poor, there is healing for the brokenhearted, there is liberty for the captives, there is sight for the blind, there is freedom for the oppressed. The Lord has risen. Death has been defeated. Heaven is more than a dream. Our sins can be fully forgiven, and we can live lives full of hope and faith and joy. And because the Lord is risen, we can be assured that he will come alongside us too as we journey down our own Emmaus roads. Like Cleopas and his wife, there's going to be times in life when we say to ourselves, but I had hoped. Have you ever found yourself saying that? I had hoped. I had hoped we'd seen the last of that cancer. I had hoped that I would be in a different place in my life by this point. I had hoped that the relationship with my girlfriend would have worked out. I had hoped when I said, till death do us part, that our marriage would have been forever. I had hoped the CT scan didn't show what it did. I had hoped my financial situation would have been better. I had hoped my kids would be walking with Jesus. I had hoped that I'd be freed from my addiction. Have you ever found yourself saying those words, I had hoped? I think in the last 2 years as we journeyed through a pandemic, all of us have said those words. I had hoped in the last 2 years I would have been able to grieve properly. I had hoped that I would have been able to celebrate with others. I had hoped that I would have less conflict in my family. I had hoped my business would have survived. I had hoped I would have been able to see my family and friends more. These last 2 years have been hard. And perhaps today, you're on your own Emmaus Road. For whatever reason, right now you're saying, but I had hoped. You're journeying down your own Emmaus Road. And if you are, it might be hard to recognize that the risen Jesus is walking with you. I mean, it's so easy when we're journeying down our own Emmaus Road to become so focused and distracted on our troubles, on our concerns, on our circumstances, that we forget the living, risen Jesus is here, present, with us behind a very thin veil. And I want to say to you this Easter, that living, risen, glorified Christ wants you to know He is walking with you. No matter what you're going through, good, bad, in between, He is walking with you. Just like He was with Cleopas and his wife, He is with you. You just might not recognize Him. And I'd also say to us this Easter Sunday that He wants to encounter you. As you journey down the road of life, just like Cleopas and his wife, we too are going to find ourselves encountering the risen Jesus in unexpected ways. Cleopas and his wife unexpectedly encountered Jesus, the stranger, on the Emmaus Road. Then they unexpectedly encountered Jesus, the risen Savior, during a meal. And I believe likewise, Jesus wants to encounter you. And often, have you noticed, those encounters will be unexpected. Let me share with you a few ways you might unexpectedly encounter Jesus. Just like Cleopas and his wife, you might unexpectedly encounter Jesus around a meal. As you read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus loves to encounter people around a meal table. Mealtimes can become resurrection moments for us. In fact, the next time you're around a meal table with friends, be expectant and open, because you might unexpectedly encounter the risen Christ at that table. You might unexpectedly encounter Jesus the next time you take communion. Did you notice in our story, as Cleopas and his wife sat at the meal table with that mysterious stranger, the stranger took some bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And when he offered the bread to them, something incredible happened. They recognized the stranger, it was Jesus, and then poof, he suddenly vanished. And in his place, the broken bread remained. Don't miss that. The broken bread remained. When Cleopas and his wife rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the others, they told them what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The next time you take communion, remember Jesus is with you as bread on the table. So don't be surprised if you encounter the risen Christ, if he is made known to you in broken bread. You might also unexpectedly encounter the risen Christ in the daily circumstances of your life. As you go through your day, you may have an unexpected encounter with Jesus. You might also unexpectedly encounter Jesus in the poor. I read a story this week about just that. The author wrote this. I just finished shopping at a sporting goods store in downtown Chicago. Since it was getting near 1 o'clock, the time the Good Friday service was to begin, I would have to walk fast to get to the church on time. As I left the store and walked down the street, a beggar approached me for a handout. "Hey, mister, how about a quarter for some food? I haven't eaten in 2 days." I could tell by the alcohol on his breath that he was telling me a half-truth. I pretended not to notice him and quickly stepped up my pace. After all, I had to get to the church on time. But after I'd walked about 30 yards, something told me to turn around. I looked over my shoulder and froze in my tracks. There was Jesus standing where the beggar had been. And though the street was crowded and I was 30 yards away, I heard Jesus whisper ever so clearly, "Albert, you couldn't give me a quarter, not even today on Good Friday." We will often unexpectedly encounter Jesus in the poor. One more way. You might unexpectedly encounter Jesus in the Bible. As Jesus pointed out to the couple on the Emmaus Road, all Scripture points to him. And so can I encourage you as you read your Bible to ask yourself this one question. As you open your Bible, as you read your Bible, ask yourself this one question. How does the risen Christ want to encounter me through what I'm about to read? How does the risen Christ want to encounter me through what I'm about to read? And as you read, get ready for an unexpected encounter with Jesus. Listen, I'm not sure how Jesus wants to unexpectedly encounter you, but I know he wants to encounter you. The question is, will you open yourself up to an encounter with him? Will you open yourself up to being encountered by the risen, glorified Jesus? Because as you encounter the risen Christ, just like Cleopas and his wife, you will find your hope and joy restored. Jesus wants each one of us to know his hope, the same real, deep hope that Cleopas and his wife experienced, a hope that will sustain you through the hard times, a hope that washes away shame and regret. A hope that allows you to go on as you walk away from the graveside. A hope that empowers and transforms your life. A hope that brings forgiveness and freedom. A hope that brings healing and joy as you walk your own Emmaus Road. Let me close with this story. It was the Good Friday service in Dampara Baptist Church in Bangladesh. The church was packed with people as they watched the Jesus movie. When it came to the crucifixion scene, weeping and gasps could be heard in the crowd. And in that emotional moment, one young boy cried out, "Don't be afraid, I've seen it before." He gets up again. And that boy's encouraging cry, "He gets up again," gave hope to the viewers of the film. And it's a cry that should give us hope today as well. It is true, the Lord is risen. He gets up again. I have good news this Easter for all of those who are feeling hopeless, who are dealing with disappointment, who are battling discouragement, who are walking through the valley of grief, who need their sins forgiven. Christ has risen. I have good news for all of those who are struggling today with a troubled marriage or addiction or health issues or anxiety or loneliness or feeling empty or shame or doubt or just are struggling with having to live the last 2 years through a pandemic. Christ has risen. Today I've got good news for everyone. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ is coming again. Amen. I'm going to lead us through a prayer, and then we're going to sing again. And this prayer I'm going to lead us through is going to come on the screen, and I'll read my lighter parts, and then where there's a bolded part or whatever it says, I think it says all together or something, that's you read with me on that part. So let's read this prayer together. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, thank you. For disciples running with good news, thank you. For your presence alive, powerful, resurrected, thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. Help us to grasp resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly but surely, bending us towards love and truth. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news. Good news in our kitchens and living rooms. Good news in the offices and workplaces. Good news in the fields and factories. Good news in classrooms and playgrounds. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully in your kingdom. In this world of broken hopes and dreams, we catch sight of your kingdom come in the person of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns in us forever. Amen.
Amen. If you're able to, I invite you to stand with us as we close with a song. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness, nor through the shadows of my soul, the work is finished. The end is written, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Sing that again. Then came the morning. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Sing it out. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Sing that again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. What a great truth. It has been so good having you online, those of you in the room today, celebrating our living hope. And to know that we've been here in his presence is great and wonderful, but the greatest thing about this is as we leave, he goes with us because he is alive. So I look forward to hearing how God interacts with you and meets you and surprises you in the midst of all of life. If you are new here with us, maybe it's the last few weeks, maybe today's your first time, you'd like to hear a little bit more about SBC, I'm going to make my way after the service to the back of the auditorium there. I'd love to meet you. Feel free to come and see me there. Maybe you are just in need of some prayer this morning. There will be some people up front here after the service who'd love to pray with you. As always, we appreciate your your sacrifice, your willingness to support this ministry. If you've come prepared to give, there are plates on the doors here as you leave. Thank you so much for blessing us with your giving. The benediction reads this way: remember the good news that we have received and proclaim this day. The good news in which we stand and through which we are being saved. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said that he would. But the story doesn't end in death. Christ was raised on the third day, just as it was promised. We are witnesses to this good news, and God commands that we do not keep this news to ourselves. We will testify to all that Christ is Lord, and together we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ is coming again. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter.